The time now, 9:06.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparo Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing you the report again this morning. Paul Ramo at his usual spot at the control panel. Well, let's go through some football scores from last night. If you haven't heard them all, you'll hear them again. Well, of course, the game that was broadcast last night by Paul Ramo and yours truly, Canby shut out the Lacaparo Valley 38-0. Dawson Boyd scored, 24 unanswered points in the second half and beat RTR 36-14. Mineota all over McRae 49-6. Lakeview defeated YME 47-8. Other games, Bold in the West Central Conference. I guess there's sections now or whatever, district, I guess. But they defeated and shut out Benson 46-0. BBE over ACGC 48-12. In nine-man, Renville County West 43, Cedar Mountain 18. They're having a good season. Kimball over KMS in a close one, 12-6. Rockford all over Montevideo 40-7. Morris Area 28, Minnewaska 14. High scoring affair, New London Spicer 44, Malacca 36. Princeton over Foley 47-22. And Hancock over Ordinville 68-14. Well, that brings us up to our game. I know we talked to you after the game last night, Tony, and you are making some progress, but some of the same old things haunt you every game.
Yeah, and those are things that we sit down and look at on film over the weekend, and we get to practice on Monday and Tuesday and take a look at making those corrections and continue to emphasize those skills and abilities. And it's coming down to us trusting that's going to work for us. And last night Canby was probably more comparable size wise to us. One of the things I was talking to their coach about, head coach, before the game, and their AD actually was just talking about, the injury bug for us, and that's a part of the game. That's a part of sports, and you try to make do with what you got, and we've just got guys that are gonna continue to learn and from those mistakes that they're making, improve and that's really kind of the purpose at this point in time is how can we put some stuff on film, whether it's a good series, a good quarter, a good half, start to put some things together that gives us some confidence and stuff that we can go back and take a look at and say, hey, this was a nice job on this play. These were, this is how this should look. And so, we'll continue to emphasize that and push the process.
Yeah. Well, some of the statistics on the game.
Yeah. Defensively, Davis Patzer had 3 solo tackles and a pass breakup. TJ Mitchell, who I thought had a very nice game offensively and defensively, in weeks past, he's got himself into the backfield and just wasn't able to finish the tackles. Last night, he was able to make a few more of those plays. I'm sure he's going to look back on film and see that one where he had the quarterback and the Fink kid's a wrestler. He's low to the ground and a low center of gravity, and he was able to keep his feet and kind of throw a duck up to their receiver, and I'm sure TJ won't be too excited about that. But, and something like that on that play, TJ's got him. That's where we need one or two other guys to come and help clean up the situation there, the mess. But anyway, he ended up with 8 tackles, 1 assist, a tackle for loss, and a sack. Dylan Kaimig had an assist and two pass breakups. Damian Torres had two tackles. Cale Benson had an assist. Peyton Rademacher had two tackles. Caden Kessler, he ended up with eight tackles, five assists, a tackle for loss, and an interception. They were kind of running some four vertical stuff on us a little bit, and he was picking a side. And he came to me and kind of said, hey, you know, what do I need to be doing here? And I said, well, really what you need to do is you need to play the middle. And then when the ball is in the air, then that's when you need the closing speed to go get it. If you start guessing and picking a side, then he's just going to turn the other way and throw it to the other guy. And he really took that to heart. And he had a pass breakup, almost another interception. And then on another series, he did get an interception. So some lessons learned by him last night. So that was good to see. Excuse me, Ethan Schomer had three tackles and a pass breakup. Tyler Earp had a tackle, had an assist, had a pass breakup and caused a fumble. Brock Bjornhild caused a fumble. Noah Meyer had a tackle and an assist. Caden Stender had a tackle. Alex Lewis had two tackles and assist. Orlando Avila had a tackle. Aiden Lewis didn't have any tackles last night, but he was Johnny on the spot. He actually recovered two fumbles. So he was the right place at the right time. And then Drew Borstead had three tackles. Offensively, you know, I thought that as you know, we took the opening kickoff, we got a first down, and unfortunately we turned it over there on that very next play after the first down. But all in all, I thought there were some things that we did offensively. Well, we were out there with four sophomores and a senior on the offensive line. And as we talked about a little bit last night after the game, in that 3-5 defense that they play, they might bring one guy, might bring three guys, might bring five guys. And so we really tried to talk to him during the week. You got to make sure that your eyes are up because they're going to be coming. And there were a couple of times where we had some breakdowns, and that kind of sped up the process for Davis. And then there were times where we did hold up very nicely and gave Davis some time. There again, figuring out how to become a little bit more consistent and playing as a group, playing as a team up front. In the run game, Peyton Rademacher had seven carries for 32 yards. I thought maybe he had snuck in the end zone there on that one play, but the official marked him down at the one. Davis Patzer, who was that quarterback this week. Cade Molden had an injury to his thumb, so he was unable to play this week. And so he stepped in, and you know, he'd been playing JV quarterback and been playing a bunch as on the defensive side, so threw him into the quarterback this week. And, you know, I think he probably looks at it and says, well, I didn't do as well as I would have liked, and I get that, but I also think, too, he did some nice things for us back there. He had five rushes for minus 9 yards. Landon Weber had five rushes for 9 yards. TJ Mitchell had a carry for minus 3, and Alex Lewis had four carries for minus 6. And, you know, we were trying to run some traps up the middle or trying to run some stuff off tackle. If you're not have your head up and they're blitzing, then that's when you get some of those run throughs. So, you know, that's hopefully a lesson learned for those guys up front. And then in the pass game, Davis was 6 of 22 for 76 yards. He did have two interceptions. Ethan Schomer, who I thought did a nice job when he got the ball in his hands, had three receptions for 51 yards. TJ Mitchell had two receptions for 24 yards. And Peyton Rademacher had a catch for 1 yard. And then with Cade Molden out, Brock Bjornhild was punting last night, and I thought he did a nice job with that. And then on the kickoffs, we had Landon Weber was kicking off to fill in for Cade in there as well. So we had to shift some things around this week. We also did block a punt last night. late in the game there in the fourth quarter. They, you know, every Thursday we have our turnover circuit, and one of the drills that we do is a block punt. And along with the block punt, we do a scoop and score part piece of it. And unfortunately, we didn't put that. We got the block punt, but we did not apply the scoop and score piece to it. Instead, we just fell on the ball. And he, I think he could have, you know, and I wasn't out there. I didn't know the situation, you know, that he was in. I just saw that there was a spot for him to be around to pick it up and maybe score a touchdown. You know, that's definitely an offensive and a defensive lineman's dream, is to be able to score a touchdown. So, you know, we'll go back and we'll look at that on film and say, hey, here's an opportunity. The ball's been blocked. Why not scoop it up towards our end zone and see if we can't put one, put some points on the board. So, you know, it's as I told him after the game, it's the record. It is what it is at this point, and we can either focus on that, or we as a group can decide that we're just going to continue to work and be better and improve and stick together as a team. Because if we're going to focus in on the record, then that's going to be a lost cause. We just need to focus on what we're trying to do the day after day.
Well, I think even in the fourth quarter, when you had that nice drive, kids were playing hard. They play hard for the Eagles play hard, but they're just outmanned, basically, physically, and hopefully in a couple of years. This group of young kids looks very similar to what Lakeview had 2 years ago.
Yeah, there was a couple weeks ago, or was it last week, talking to YME, they had kind of said something like that, and I think Lakeview had, I talked to their one of their coaches, and they had mentioned something, you know, and it's you want to really focus in on the present and making sure that you're with them, and you're doing exactly what you need to do to help them battle through whatever it is they're battling through. But yeah, there's always that looking to the future, like, what can this look like? How can we improve? What are some goals for the future? But ultimately, you need to be right here with them and continue to press on and not as a coaching staff, not get discouraged. As a coaching staff, not become too disheartened, but hey, keep encouraging, keep the morale going, so that it is something that they want to continue to be a part of, because football is a numbers game, and you got to have the numbers to practice, you got to have the numbers to play the game, and you just hope and work for the next day.
Short week this week.
Yeah, this week we are going to Lakeview on Thursday night. Last year, we had to play on Thursday night because of officials, and what we decided, the athletic director and myself at Lakeview, was decided, well, it worked last year, let's do it this year. So we're playing on Thursday this year. Again, I know that we're volleyball plays on Thursday night as well at home. But yeah, so we'll have 3-4 days of practice, like I mentioned last night on the radio. We're not going to play the JV game on Monday, strictly because we got a lot of those kids that are crossing over, and we want to make sure that we give them enough time and rest so that we're able to play on Thursday. So the JV season is done. They ended up with 5 games and 2 scrimmages, I believe. And so, you know, every week, hey, is this, you guys want to keep going out there and playing? And they were super excited to get out there and compete and have some fun. So that was good to see. So their season is over. But obviously we need those freshmen and those sophomores to continue to practice. And then as far as the junior high goes, they've got 2 games this week. They go to Cambie on Tuesday. And then on Friday night at 6 or 6:30, I can't remember which, but they are going down to Cottonwood and playing on the turf under the lights. So with not the game Friday night at Lakeview being Thursday night, we decided that we'd move the JV game, or excuse me, the junior high game. So they've got two games left this week. And so they're they had a game on Thursday night, the junior high did. They played YME. YME had, I think, they only had, I believe, 14 or 15 kids for their wow. junior high. Wow. But good size and some speed. And so our 7th and 8th grade, I think we played 15-minute halves or quarters, excuse me. And so that they, 7th grade, played the first part, and the junior high played the second. And then afterwards we fed them some hot dogs and just as it's kind of what we started doing here at their last junior high home game. We usually grill out for those kids afterwards. So they stood in line and got their hot dogs.
Okay, Tony, you got three-line football coming up here in a little over half an hour.
Yep, we'll be back out to Lacaparl this morning. We've got the kindergartners and the first graders working on some skills, and then we've got some the third and fourth graders. We've actually started to incorporate playing a little bit of flag football with them, and then with the fifth and sixth too, widen the field a little bit, get some flags, it's kind of interesting. You know, get that little mini ball and set hot, and if it's 7-on-7, six kids run as far as they possibly can, and they expect this kid to throw the ball 40 yards, and it's like, well, I'm wide open. Well, yeah, we know that, but who can throw it that far at that age? So that's kind of fun. So we're learning kind of how to navigate through the sometimes being short, throwing a person open, you know, being a teammate and setting those things up. So it's fun. I think at the end of the time there, we got some really competitive kids. So if they're not throwing the ball right away, come on, throw me the ball. I'm open. And I get it. That's a part of it. And so we're working on that. That's fun.
Okay. Well, thanks for the report. Best of luck on Thursday against Lakeview. And we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning, Tony.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Tony Smith on football. Paul, who's next here?
Cross country
will be next. And we'll talk to John Sherb. I think they're practicing. But he can take a break and talk about two events they had this past week after this.
If you like high school sports, you'll love the Camden Recap. It's a new all-sports weekly newspaper covering the schools of the Camden Conference, covering 13 school districts comprised of dozens of communities. From RTR to Ortonville, TMB to KMS, Lacaparl Valley to RCW, Dawson Boyd to Canby, everywhere in between, they've got your Camden Conference sports covered. For advertising and subscriptions, email advertising@camdenrecap.com or call 320-297-1461. That's 320-297-1461 for the Camden Recap.
In a crackling fire, it's there, bubbling at the headwaters of the Mississippi, glowing inside the canvas walls of a yurt, basking by the lake at one of Minnesota's classic resorts, tuning its strings, taking the stage, 1,000 feet below the earth in an underground state park, and whispering through the trees at Teta Gooch. It's magic, and it's waiting to be discovered only in Minnesota. Visit exploreminnesota.com.
You work hard to care for your family. That's why Whirlpool refrigerators are made with you in mind. They're designed to keep fresh veggies and frozen pizzas organized to allow easy access when you need them. Streamlined Whirlpool refrigerator exteriors make cleaning simple, and they come in a broad range of sizes, styles, and colors, so you can select the best fit for your kitchen. Get all the details today by stopping into Odin and Zimmelman TV Appliance and Sleep Center, downtown Madison. They're your one-stop Whirlpool appliance headquarters. You're invited over to Gary, South Dakota for Junk in the Trunk and Around the Town Rummage Sales going on Saturday, October 8th from 3 to 5:30 p.m. You'll find Junk in the Trunk going on 1st Avenue between Coteau and Lacaparl Street. Just $5 to park your junk or register your sale. Save a spot, or for more details, contact Jen Peterson at 605-272-5779 or email GarySDCommunityClub@gmail.com or stop by Gate City General. Participants are welcome to join. Pay the day of the event. End your day at the Gary American Legion Post 109 Supper Club Happy hour 5:30, supper at 6. Make a day of it this Saturday, October 8th, Junk in the Trunk and Round the Town Rummage Sales in Gary, South Dakota. That number again for information or to save a spot, Jen Peterson, 605-272-5779 or email GarySDCommunityClub@gmail.com or stop by Gate City General.
Back here at the Coaches Show, talking cross-country now with John Sherb. He's actually having practice right now, but he's ready to go. And two events this past week, a meet earlier in the week in Montevideo, and then you went down to Slayton or Laverne on Thursday, and that's where the section will be this year. So it's nice for the kids to run on that course.
That was the good thing. So, and we... Monty ran on Tuesday. It's a nice close meet. You hate losing close meets for parents to see and relatives to see the kids run. So that's where you still did the Monty. We just had that run our varsity kids there, so that was good to see. And our younger kids continue to run really well. The 7th, 8th grade girls race at Monty. Tegan Conroy was second overall in 9:19. She continues to really understand and getting better as it goes. Paisley Martinson was third at 9:19 also. Quinn Larson was 5th at 9:29. Emma Johnson was 6th at 9:34. Aiden Bond was 10:04 in 10th place. And then we also had Maslin in 18th place at 11:56. JV girls, we just ran JV on that bunch. Our top runner was Daytona Bissett. She was 2nd at 25:19. Then we had Alyssa Swinski at 27:10 in 6th. Let's see, we also had Makaya Poost at 27:05 in 7th. Then 8th was Mackenzie Call, 27:11. And then we had Ella Stock in 14th at 32:37. JV boys, Joseph Felton got his first cross-country victory. He won the JV race with a time of 20:23. Then we had Baxter Calloff in 10th at 22:09. Luke Stock was 13th at 22:32. Hudson Giese was 24th at 26:02, and then Porter Peterson was 28th at 27:08. So that was, it was good to find out where we're at, just to kind of get a race in there, and kind of get ready to go for Laverne on Thursday. And Laverne on Thursday was good because that got a chance to see the section course. Weather was cool and windy. I thought some of our kids handled it really well. I feel some of the kids didn't handle it very well, and that's part of the maturity of the focus part. I thought we had some kids that just weren't quite in that focused level, but I thought we had a lot of kids really still do well down there. The junior high girls, they ended up running, well, it was supposed to be 3,200 meters. Unfortunately, they added an extra hill in there, so roughly it's about 200 meters longer. I know I was giving our assistant junior high coach a hard time because I was telling that you paid the golf cart to go an extra hill run just to rub it into the kids. And the kids were giving them a hard time about that, but it was still fun. Everybody just got to have that. But the junior high kids continue to, like I said, they're making some really nice progress. Tegan Conroy was 6th overall, 15:46. Paisley Martins was 10th at 15:57. Emma Johnson was 12th at 15:59. Quinn Larson was 13th at 16:02, and Aiden Bond was 21st at 17:35, and Madison was 27th at 19:56. They ran the JV races together in varsity. Girls going in, we knew we were going to see the two better teams in it with Canby and then also Laverne. It's just kind of questions, how close can we get to them? We were fortunate enough to nip Canby and Wyoming, but they didn't have two of their legs in, so that's kind of nice to see where we're at legitimately with them. So I thought our girls really ran well again. They're just growing with so well off each other, and that's just what's so nice to see them to make that move. Chloe Glagan was our top runner. She was 7th overall at 21:03. Taylor Shelson was right behind her, 9th at 21:25. Annika Fernals was 15th at 22:05. Taylor Wood was 16th at 22:12. Brooklyn Starroot at 33rd at 22:59, and then Shea Bothan was in 31st at 22:55, and then in 36th place was Harper Grunholz, and then Grace Fawcett was 69th at 27:21. Mackenzie Call was 68th at 27:09. Daytona Bissett was 50th at 24:57. Makaya Poos was 56th at 25:46. Willis Wiswinski was 57 at 25-53, and Ellis Stock was 75th at 31. Men's even. Scoring-wise, Laverne won it with 46. Gambie was second at 47. We were in third at 74, and Pipestone was in fourth at 115. And Pipestone beat us at our place, so it was kind of when we had that Madison meet. So that was kind of nice just to see where we actually are, and that shows how much improvement because they beat us by four at our place, and turn around we beat them pretty soundly. So that was a good mark there. Boys going in, just kind of find out where Laverne is the cream of the crop on that one. We're kind of chasing and seeing where we're at, and then Gambie and everybody else in there. And I thought a bunch of our boys did not prepare themselves as well as they could have. They still ran decent. It's just not the level we had kind of seen in the meets in the past. But again, another day in, day out, you gotta focus and do your job. And just, again, they'll learn from that's the biggest thing. Gavin Carl was 8th at 17-21. Eli Hagan was 13th, 17-56. Tayden Clark was 31st, 18-52. James Weber was 54th at 19-28. Tygan Alfres was 55th at 1939. Cade Solm was 59th at 1945. And Justin Perkins was 57th at 1942. Joseph Felton was 85th at 2052. Luke Stock was 87th at 2107. Baxter Carlisle was 107th at 2148. Hudson Giese was 128th at 2533. Porter Peterson was 132nd at 2701. Scoring for the boys, Laverne won with 67. Gambie was second with 90, Windham at 99, Sioux Falls Roosevelt 102, Sioux Falls Lincoln at 115, and then we were in sixth at 145. So, it was good. We needed to see it, needed to find out. We also, I think we also need to understand that you just can't step on the course and compete. I think that's one of the things that some of these kids are thinking that way. You can't, and that's, it can be a cruel world if you take things for granted, and they did, and that's the learning. Now, my question is, how good are they want to be? Can they rebound from this and go to the next level where they should be? Now, that'll be, it's our growing part,
Right.
This team is growing, and that's what's nice to see.
Yep. Well, it's not only physical, it's mental, too.
Yeah, a lot of mental. It's that experience. I think a lot of it was more mental preparation than the physical. Physical, the body is there. It's just that mind is so key.
Right. Okay, next week, John.
Next week, we go to Benson on Tuesday. That wasn't on the schedule, but we go to Kirkcove, and they have a golf course right next to the school, so we're going to run up there, and that'll be a good kind of fine-tuned test for us where we're at, and that's kind of what we're going to see. So that'll be a good one and kind of a fun one to kind of get yourself focused, because then after that, it's conference and sections and then state, so not much left to go.
No, that's right. You're rounding third and heading for home. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, well, thanks for the report. Get back to practice, and good luck at the Kirkhoven Golf Course, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning, John.
Sounds good.
John Sherb on Cross Country. Paul Raymond will contact the volleyball coach and have that interview after this.
Your home is the one place where everything should be perfect, including your air. Larry's Refrigeration and Heating helps you achieve the perfect air you deserve with reliable, groundbreaking, award-winning Lennox products. Call Larry's Refrigeration and Heating to hear more about how we can help you feel healthier and happier in your home. It doesn't get any more perfect than that. Call us today in Ortonville at 320-839-3882 or in Madison at 320-598-3882. 3334, or visit us online at larryshvacr.com. Tuesday night, it's volleyball action right here on Q92. The KMS Fighting Saints travel to Lacapral Valley to take on the Eagles, 7:15 first serve. That's Lacapral Valley and the KMS Fighting Saints, Tuesday, 7:15, right here on Q92. Tune in.
Canby Meat Center, 125 St. Olaf Avenue North in Canby, right downtown, is open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturday, 8 to noon. This week, you'll find USDA Choice Boneless Beef Top Sirloin Steak, $6.99 a pound. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Steak, $4.99 a pound. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast at $4.79 a pound. Fresh ground pork, $1.99 a pound. And homemade fresh ground pork sausage or Italian sausage, $2.59 a pound. All this and more at the Canby Meat Center. Stop in or give them a call, 507-223-5292. And like them on Facebook.
back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to turn our attention to Lockapaw Valley Volleyball with first-year head coach Brooklyn Gould. And it's your first year, Brooklyn. How's it going? How's it going as a head coach?
It's going really good. I don't have much to complain about this week. We lost the game and we won a game, but we're doing good things this week, so it feels good.
All right. All the responsibilities that come along with a head coach. You getting used to that?
You know, I knew it was going to be challenging. I remember myself playing as a child, and when we went to McRae this last week, I actually ran into one of my old coaches, and it was a good talk. And you know, I told them I don't think I would be a coach if it wasn't for them, because I had some great coaches growing up. So there's good days, there's bad days, but that's all part of the role of it.
That's right. Okay. All right. Well, you had a couple matches. Tell us about them, Brooklyn.
Yep. So we ended up traveling to McRae on Tuesday. You know, them Rigdon State, we knew it was going to be a tough game. And going into the game, I just told the girls, you know, win or lose, it doesn't matter as long as we're going all out. You know, every girl's out there trying their hearts out. That's all that matters. When we went to McRae, we lost in three, but the games were actually pretty close. So our first set was 25-19, 25-18, and 26-24. So the games were really close, and we were right there. We're always right there with some of those teams, you know. So I'll just go through some of the girls' stats. So Riley Lund, she had 7 digs, 2 kills, 17 assists, and 1 block. Isabel Gertis had 14 digs, 1 ace. Lexi Wolschlager had 10 kills, 1 dig. Sheridan Evenson had 5 kills, 2 blocks, 3 digs. Jalen Lee had 7 kills, 1 block, 1 dig. Claire had 1 ace, 7 digs. Caitlin had 5 digs. Brandy had 9 kills, 1 block, 3 digs. And Ayana had 1 kill, 14 assists, 4 digs. We ended up making Brandy player of the game for that game. That was a very good game for her. She definitely needed it. She actually ended up even having one solo block, and I think it was against Sydney Tyne, so she was actually pretty jacked after that. The girls had kept a positive attitude at the McRae game. Even losing, they kept fighting, all the girls. They're starting to find their flow, and it's actually staying consistent for once, more than just one game, so I'm really appreciating that. Yeah, the girls did some great things, and like I said, after the game, you get stuck talking to people because that's where I graduated, and they're all amazed by these girls. They're saying that this is the best ball control that Lockapaw's ever had, and you're getting all these compliments about the team, and it's fun to watch them. Yeah. They're doing great things this year, so I really appreciated hearing that. And you know, I tell the girls that too, and I think they're actually starting to believe it finally, like at the end of the season. So I'm glad they're having fun. I'm glad we're finding our flow, and it's kind of staying consistent now. So
okay.
Then we also had YME or Dawson Boyd this week, and that was I'll just run through the girls' stats. And Riley Lund had 12 assists, 10 digs, 2 aces. Isabel Gernis had 1 assist, 19 digs. Lexi had 9 kills, 1 block. Sheridan had 6 kills, 2 digs, 3 aces. Jalen Lee had 13 kills, 1 dig. Claire Borsett had 8 digs, 1 ace. Caitlin didn't end up playing because she's kind of battling some back issues right now. So we had Mikey and Elias playing her back row, and she had 1 assist, 6 digs, 1 ace. Brandy Meyer had 9 kills, 3 digs, and Ayana Gibson had 1 kill, 21 assists, and 7 digs. That win against Dawson felt really good. You know, these girls have been working really hard every day at practice, every day at a game. And taking 3 sets from Dawson felt really good, and they definitely needed that. They definitely went out there and worked their butts off to get that win, so super proud of them. Sheridan Evenson was named Player of the Game by Neon Needles. And with Sheridan, you know, We didn't really know what we were going to do with her at the beginning of the year. You know, we've all seen Sheridan hit, and when she hits, it can be kind of scary being on the receiving end. So we have her playing middle right now, and she's rocking it. We have plays where her and Lexi are in the front row. Lexi is capable of running in the middle, and Sheridan can run outside, so we definitely have been utilizing that this week. And overall, that Dawson game, I caught myself when I was driving home. I couldn't stop smiling, Paul. Like, I was like, why am I smiling? Why can't I stop smiling? It felt really good.
Awesome.
That one felt really good. And at practice yesterday, we had a fun practice. I told them, I was like, if we win in three, we're going to have practice. So don't ask me if we aren't, but we're going to have a fun practice. So yesterday, we did a lot of team bonding and some fun things. But overall, it was definitely a good week for the volleyball team for us. Even with the loss in our belt, we showed up, we battled every single day that we got on the court. So it felt good. This week was a good week.
Good, good. I thought I did the Dawson game. I thought Brandy Meyer, Lexi Wushlager, and like you said, Sheridan, everyone played well.
Yeah, I did. It's nice seeing that they're finding their flow. You know, and that's what everybody's saying. It's fun to watch you guys, and I'm trying to enjoy every single minute of it because the season's coming to an end soon. So, we're enjoying every moment together right now, I think.
All right. What's up next for the volleyball team?
Yep. So, two games next week at home, our last two home games. On Tuesday, we're doing our Dig Pink night against KMS. And then Thursday, we have parent senior night against CMCS. So, like I said, it's hard to believe that this is kind of the end of our season right now. So, our last two home games next week.
Okay. Do you have how the B squad did or the JV did?
We took a sweep against Dawson. C squad and B squad ended up winning, too. So, that felt really good. We haven't had that in a while, but... I talked to the girls. Heidi and I have kind of talked to the girls the last couple of days, and overall, C squad and B squad have grown so much too. Just watching them from, you know, the beginning of the season till now, they're doing great things, and even the community is kind of seeing that too. So it feels good to hear. So we're excited for the years to come for sure.
Okay, all right. I'll be out there Tuesday. A Dig Pink night, you said, huh?
Dig Pink night. Make sure you wear your pink.
I got pink. Okay. All right. Thanks, Brooklyn, for the report on the volleyball team this morning.
Yeah,
Appreciate it. Thank you very much, Paul.
All
right. That's Brooklyn Gould, the head coach of the Lacapra Valley volleyball team. We'll take a break, and Dick will be talking to Coach Hacker and tennis right after this.
On Sunday, October 9th, Watson Lutheran Church is going to be hosting a drive-through meatball supper from 4:30 to 6 p.m. or until it's gone. No early sales. We'll have meatballs, real mashed potatoes, gravy, corn, cranberry salads, bread, lefse on apple crisp. Tickets just $10. Get the date for that Sunday, October 9th at Watson Lutheran Church. An all-you-can-eat pancake and sausage breakfast will be held Sunday, October 9th at St. Peter's Social Hall in Canby from 8:30 to 11:30 a.m. Free bowl donations will be taken. Proceeds from this event benefit the School of St. Peter. Everyone's welcome. Handicapped seating will be available. That's Sunday at St. Peter's Social Hall, 8:30 to 11:30 a.m. Junk in the Trunk and Around the Town rummage sales going on in Gary, South Dakota today from 3 to 5:30 p.m. You'll have Junk in the Trunk going on First Avenue between Coteau and Lac Parle Street, and then assorted rummage sales around town. So head over to Gary and check that out today.
With higher commodity prices comes higher coverage and higher costs. If you are looking for an agent with a common sense approach that is fine-tuned to your operation, talk to an agent with Haugen Insurance Agency today. With two convenient locations on Highway 75 in Madison and Ortonville, we are able to meet your needs. We can walk you through how your multi-peril policy is used for marketing bushels to take advantage of good prices, and we can also look into whether or not a hail policy makes sense for your operation. Stop by our office or visit our website at www.haugencropins.com. Haugen Insurance Agency Incorporated, a farmer's helping hand.
Dawson Designated Charities enhance the life of others. October is designated Good Neighbor Month. During this month, They'll be pooling their resources to support the nonprofits in the community whose good works help enhance the lives of others. Because of your past generosity, Dawson Designated Charities has been able to provide substantial funding for the Food Shelf, Lac Apparel Home Network, and many other worthwhile charities. Your donations help them to be the good neighbor we all want to be. The request for your help is coming out in the mail. Look for it and consider your contribution. Due to the Farmers Union Agency, Sumner Agency Sidewalk being under construction, they ask that for your safety, you mail your contribution.
Back at the radio station, talking to Dr. Brant Hacker on girls' tennis. And gosh, just an exciting week for you and the gals.
Yeah, you know, we... end of season is rolling in here already, and we started section playoffs on Tuesday. We were the third-ranked team out of eight, and we hosted McCray. The gals did a nice job there. We were able to win 6-1. We've been sticking with the same lineup all season, so Caitlin Whitnable played one singles for us, nice match. Ended up going to a third set, but she pulled that off. Maddie Matthews did a nice job at two singles, and Hannah Oy at three singles. Sadie Hacker lost a tough one at four singles. She's been improving her game quite a bit, but wasn't able to close that out. Lost 7-5 after, after being ahead there in the second set, but just wasn't able to get the win. Claire and Kayla, Claire Lowry, Kayla Janet won doubles. Did a nice job all the way around her, down her doubles lineup. Callie Borman, Gertie Sieg, 6-1, 6-2. And Taylan Jorgensen, Elsie Wiebe at 6-0, 6-3. So doubles has really been a nice strong point for us this season, as well as some of our singles positions. So that's worked out well. Maya Virgie and Alexis Olsen played exhibition for us, and as they have been really all season, and did a nice job winning 6-2, 6-2 also. So yeah, with that win, that...
And actually,
go ahead,
you know, that was played on Wednesday because you got weathered out on Tuesday.
Yes,
so.
Yes.
So
exactly.
After that, you had to turn right around and head for Sioux Falls. I don't know if it had any effect on the gals or anything, but let's talk about the Laverne match.
Yeah, you're right, though, Dick. Everybody, you know, Morris and Monty were the only folks that got it. So there's four matches supposed to happen Tuesday. Morris and Monty got started. Everybody else didn't even get started.
Okay.
So we're all kind of in the same boat driving down to Sioux Falls late Wednesday night after we finished our matches. But yeah, we lined up against Laverne. We'd lost to Laverne 4-3 earlier in the season. We knew they would be tough. They're a solid team, and they always have been. Kind of looked at, you know, that we won at 1-2-3 singles last time, and, you know, that's the positions we won at again. So Caitlin Whitnable did a nice job 0-0 against her number one singles opponent. Maddie Matthews, 6-1, 6-2. Hannah Oy, 6-1, 6-2. Sadie Hacker was our marathon match, almost 3 hours long.
Oh,
she lost 6-4, 7-5, and then 7-6 in the third set. It was a battle all the way. Sadie had a couple match points there in the tiebreaker at the very end for the third set, but wasn't able to close it. So ended up, supposed to go to 7, but ended up losing that one at 9-7. She really brought her game up and played well. So I want to, give credit. It's one we would have liked to try to get going our way, though. One doubles, Claire Lowry, Kayla Jan, ended up losing 6-3, 6-2. They had a tough day. They clearly weren't playing at their level that they're capable of. They were frustrated after the match. Hopefully weren't, sometimes if you're putting too much pressure on yourself or you're playing indoors, it's a new place, though, like you mentioned, Dick, there's a lot of reasons it can happen. But, clearly we were hoping to be a little more competitive at that one doubles and weren't able to pull it off there. Callie Borman, Gertie Sieg lost the first set 6-1, but rallied back and fought hard. They ended up losing that second set 7-5. So that's one, too, that, wish we could have maybe gone our way. And then Taylan Jorgensen, Elsie Wiebe had a tough match at three doubles, lost the first set, 6-4, and then they went to a tiebreaker for the second set. And we were actually up 5-2 at one point, looking good, but we ended up losing it. The other team ended up beating us 7-5 in that tiebreaker, so we rolled off a bunch of points in their direction. So again, that was woulda, coulda, right? But Laverne ended up closing us out 4-3 there. That ends our team season. Laverne went on to play Pipestone, beat Pipestone 4-3. The other semi that had been going on was Pipestone and Morris, and Pipestone beat them 4-3. So it was just tight all the way around. You know, we knew that whoever ended up bringing kind of their best play and their best taking advantage of opportunities was probably the team coming out of that. And I think it really could have been almost anybody. Laverne did a nice job closing out points where they needed to. So, you know, credit to them. They'll be the team heading to state out of our section this year.
Okay. Well, the nice thing about tennis is not only a team sport, but it's also an individual sport. And maybe some of those close matches and that would turn around this up and coming week.
You know, we might see some of that. You're exactly right, Dick. We might see some of the same players going forward here. We start individuals this Thursday. So that means I get to, you know, there's eight teams in our section. Every team gets to kind of have two singles entries and two doubles entries. So it's a group of 16 gals. You play off to two that make it to state. So for us, our singles entries are going to be Caitlin Whitnable and Maddie Matthews. I usually kind of defer to the first and second singles players. You know, if they want to, sometimes you can switch players around. You don't have to keep them singles and individuals. And teams will take a couple singles player and put them together for a double team and hope they're, you know, maybe a stronger option there. Caitlin and Maddie are going to stay on our singles side, though. Caitlin and Maddie both had very successful seasons. At this point, you know, knock on wood, Caitlin has not lost to anybody in sections yet. So should go into sections feeling pretty good. Our goal is to get through that first round on this coming Thursday, which we play down from 16 down to four folks left. And then Maddie, too, though, it's just been playing lights out. Like a lot of teams, the other coaches will come up to me and tell me, hey, it looks like you actually have just 2-1 singles players there. And, you know, Maddie's kind of a dark horse. So, you know, sometimes you think that two singles player, they can be strong or they can be weak, but clearly we have a very strong singles player for us there and two with Maddie. So hopefully they'll have some success. And then Claire Lowry, Kayla Jan, also have done very well over the season. They're going to stay together as our, you know, they finished our regular season 10-6 as a double team, so did really well. They're going to be our one doubles, and then we're putting together a couple people, Hannah Oy and Callie Borman, for our other doubles entry. So, you know, we've got a few days to practice that. Hannah's going to have to make some adjustments coming from singles over to doubles, but, you know, she's sharp. I think we've got, you know, some opportunities there, so we'll do our best.
And this is indoors as well?
Yeah, we're going to head down Wednesday night because we have a coaches meeting Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And then we play at 8 a.m. At Match Point down in Sioux Falls.
Okay, so same place as you had the team's finals. So.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a great facility. It's got six indoor courts. You know, we're going to get through that first round of and the second round of all the singles and doubles. So it'll be a longer day, but hopefully it should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to seeing how things turn out.
Sure. Well, yeah. Thank you for the report this morning. You had a great season, and we'll wrap that up in here in a couple weeks or so, but not before. Let's get some people into that state tournament. I know they'll try their best, and hopefully that'll happen for you, and we'll hear all about that individual part of the tournament on the next Culture Show, Doctor.
That sounds great. Thanks, Dick. I appreciate it.
That's Brant Hacker on Girls Tennis. We'll take this break and wrap out the Culture Show for another week after this.
Prairie Sportsman on Pioneer PBS celebrates our love of the outdoors to hunt, fish, and recreate amid Minnesota's vast resources of lakes, rivers, trails, and grasslands. The weekly half-hour show hosted by Brett Amundson takes viewers around the state, rock climbing in southwest Minnesota's Blue Mounds State Park, snowmobiling to the northwest angle, steelhead trout fishing on North Shore streams, and tracking majestic golden eagles in southeast Minnesota. Watch Prairie Sportsman Sunday nights 7:30 and Monday at 12:30 on Pioneer PBS.
Your vision is our focus. Hi, this is Dr. Renee Reese from Heartland Eye Care Centers. Two decades of experience have taught me that the best care starts with outstanding service. Our friendly, caring staff is up to date on the latest technology to provide you with the best eye care experience. Patients of all ages can count on our comprehensive eye exams, eye disease management, LASIK co-management, and the latest eyewear and contact lenses. But most importantly, a solid foundation for a lifetime of care. We are Heartland Eye Care Centers in Marshall, Canby, Dawson, and Slayton.
See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison, showing Friday, October 7th through Monday, October 10th in Theater One. Fun for the family, Lyle Crocodile, rated PG. That's opening nationwide. And in theater number two, held over Spider-Man, No Way Home. It's the fun stuff extended version, rated PG-13. That's Lyle Lyle Crocodile in theater one, Spider-Man, No Way Home in theater two. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand.
During National 4-H Week, Yellow Medicine County 4-H is taking special pride in our organization's role in developing our county's youth. Volunteers in the 4-H organization have touched the lives of thousands of 4-H youth by helping them learn new skills and provide service in their community. I'm Alicia Webb, your local 4-H Extension educator. Find out how you can change a young person's life by becoming a 4-H volunteer. Call 320-669-4471. That's 320-669-4471.
Back here at the radio station, another show is over, Paul, and that's a Saturday morning habit for us, isn't it?
It is, and you've been doing it way longer than me.
Well, so. Wouldn't do it if I didn't enjoy it, and that's my way of getting to know some of these kids as well, and the coaches, so.
That's right. Yeah.
As soon as I get back home and let the dog out, I'm heading up north to Moorhead to watch Concordia play McAllister in college football, kickoff at 1 o'clock. If you can't watch it yourself, you can go online and, yep. and get play-by-play, or maybe you can watch the live stream in that. I don't know how to do that, yep. but that's why I'm going up there.
Yeah,
but
watch it live.
Lacaparo Valley's alumni and Peyton Mortensen, son of Becky and Randy Mortensen, is a fifth-year senior playing for Concordia. That's about the only positive thing about COVID-19 is that he got another year of eligibility, and he's having a whale of a season.
Yeah, he's starting at running back, isn't he?
Yeah, okay. The last last 3 years, I think.
Okay.
He plays, and with a new coach, they're more of a running offense than they were the last couple years. And so I know he scored two touchdowns against St. John's last week, and hopefully he can do that or do better than that today.
All right, so, who are they playing?
They're playing McAllister.
McAllister, okay. Yep. All right. Well, have a fun day then.
Yeah, it will be.
Yeah. Well, you gotta leave us with a Dick Newman sick joke of the week.
Well, I got a couple of them here. Well, actually, three. First off, how does a taco say grace? Let us pray. What do you call a cheese that isn't yours? Nacho cheese. My dad told me a joke about boxing. I guess I missed the punchline. Well, thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you do not have to play a sport to be one.